evening, everyone. You're now listening to the Midnight Watch, where a motto is standing on watch for you against bad movies. I'm your host, Philip Powell, joined by my friend and co-host, Mr. Nick Allen. Chris is sitting out again. He didn't see this. Say hi, Nick.
Hello.
And tonight's film is The Conjuring.
It's November 1st, 1971. I'm sitting here with Carolyn Perrin, who, with her family, has been experiencing supernatural occurrences.
You picking up anything in here, hon?
Something awful happened here, Ed.
What is it?
The new Haunted House film starring Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, Lily Taylor, and
it's like Ron Livingston.
Ron Livingston.
Joey King.
Yep.
And then there's Mackenzie Foy, who you might not know by name, but everybody will know by face because she's the CGI baby from the Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2. So, yeah.
Yes. And in this film, we follow Ron Livingston and Lily Taylor. They're a newly married couple that's moved out to this ratty old fixer-upper in the country for reasons we're not clear of at the start of the film. And they're just basically doing family stuff, having fun, having a good time. And while we're doing that, we also cut to Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson, who are these Christian paranormal experts. Basically, they're not quite exorcists. Like, Patrick Wilson explains he can do exorcisms, but he's not like a priest.
He's not really, I guess, religious, if you would say.
Well, they are like religious. He's not a priest.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
Because they established they're both pretty firm believers. And yeah, Vera Farmiga is a psychic. And yeah, basically they're a team. They investigate ghosts. They have a daughter, family life, just good, wholesome people. And yeah, we see them get interviewed for some stories about them, explain some of the items they found and help this family. Then, more or less, shit hits the fan with Ron Livingston and Lily Taylor. Weird stuff starts happening to their family. Their daughter gets dragged out of the bed. The mother starts getting these weird bruises all over her body out of nowhere. Stuff starts creaking around the house. The
dog ends up dead.
Yeah, the dog ends up dead. Lights go out.
So they call in Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson to help them out.
Yep, and from there, it's an old-school style horror flick, and I would just say, yeah, this is a very well, just not just horror film, but a very well-made film, and kind of really made me think of, like, especially the old Spielberg horror films like Jaws and Poltergeist. Not to
say, still consider Jaws a horror film?
Yeah! Dude, when that the shark bit halfway through their boat. They almost died in the last 20 minutes.
Well, but the thing is, sharks aren't scary anymore after Shark Week.
I guess. If anything, I say they're more scary after Shark Week. But what I mean, people, is most horror films ignore things like basically it defies the expectations of what you expect, especially from American horror film, because most horror films these days, they ignore plot and characters, just like Saw. It's basically just there for gore.
Well,
or to shock you. And this movie, like, it takes its time. Like, there's a good, like I said, like, I wrapped it up quickly, but that's a good, like, 45, 50 minutes of the film just explaining the seven main characters' backstory and just watching them interact before they finally meet. So,
well, yeah, before they
this movie takes.
There is stuff that happens.
Yeah, there's stuff with the ghost that happens. That's why they call it very much. But I'm just saying, this movie takes its time. You get a sense of the family, their life. You like them. Same with Patrick Wilson, Farmiga. You get a sense of their experiences. Nothing is rushed, even though this movie doesn't feel that long. Like I said, they take a good 40, 50 minutes for character development. While they do use a couple jump scares early, this is surprisingly jump scare. Like, there's not a lot of jump scares. When the ghost does stuff, like, it really does stuff. Like, when people get yanked, it starts off like just those little tiny yanks, but it goes to people getting dragged through floors, walls, stairs, ceilings, like, everything.
Well, see, here's where we differ, because we both agree that this is a good film. But me, it wasn't as effective as it was for you, because me, I've seen the Paranormal Activity movies.
Okay.
And for anybody, I feel like, if you're like me and you've seen the Paranormal Activity movies, the whole being yanked out of the bed thing, or oh, there's somebody behind that door, but they don't show you who it is and you don't see anything, that's not effective anymore because we've seen it done 4 times already in Paranormal Activity, even though I would only count the first 3 movies, but that's another story. But that's where we kind of differ.
All right. Fair enough, but I still say it's effective. And even, like, the way the ghosts interact with the different people is different. Like I said, some people get dragged. One character that seems to be the thing with these movies, the youngest kid, I guess because of the innocence and all that, the ghost just talks to them. They don't mess with them at all. It's just like, hey, we're friends.
Okay. This is basically... Okay, here we go again. What it is... See, I've seen these movies before. Okay. This is like a mishmash of movies I've seen before. This is a mishmash of Paranormal Activity... Insidious, definitely. There's a lot of Insidious overtones, especially even the part about bringing in paranormal investigators.
Isn't this James Wan?
Yeah, it's James Wan. It's
Patrick Wilson again.
Yeah, basically playing with Patrick Wilson.
With a hot brunette again before it was Rose Byrne, now it's Vera Farmiga.
Yeah. But it's a mishmash of things you've seen before done well.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's good, but it just wasn't effectively scary to me at all because I've seen all this done before. And matter of fact, scares wise, I felt like Insidious did a better job of it than this movie.
I know Insidious also had the bonus of that score with that creepy ass music.
Well, and then even the makeup in Insidious was done a little better. Like, I'm not gonna say the makeup is bad because it's not bad, but if you want to frighten somebody, I don't feel like there was only one thing that I think actually scared the audience, and that was like a scene that I'm not going to ruin, but it's where you get an actual close up where what you're seeing is like right in the camera because it's interacting with another character. You get a good look at the makeup, and that actually looks good, but some of the other ones just aren't as effective because it involves, oh, well, we just put a little eyeliner here. Put like some flour on your face. There, you're done. It's like, oh, you guys can do a little more than that. Because when I think of like an effectively creepy makeup that James Wan has done, I always go back to the old lady in Insidious. That shit is pretty creepy. Here, there was nothing to actually equal that, I don't think.
Yeah, like I wouldn't say I was scared by this movie, and I'm not even trying to be a tough guy. It was just unnerving. But certain stuff, like the scene in the trailer with the hanging person, which I won't completely spoil, but once you see that in detail, people, it's much, much creepier and much, much more unnerving in the actual film than it was in the trailer. So if you were like, ooh, that's kind of creepy in the trailer, you'll definitely be at least a little freaked out when you see the movie. So I do think there are moments like that. They mostly involve Vera Farmiga because, like I said, she's a medium, so she sees stuff other people can't see.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Unlike most horror films, this has fantastic acting in it.
Yeah.
This is one of the few horror films that you can say that about, especially Vera Farmiga.
It was old school. Like,
she sells you on a lot.
Right, yeah, like...
Patrick Wilson's... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, he's solid. But yeah, especially since I don't think Vera Farmiga, like maybe earlier in her career she did a horror film, but I don't think she's done very many horror films.
At least
films.
Not recently.
Right, in her career. Like you really believe her as this person who can see stuff, which I imagine a lot of what she was reacting to was probably, some of it was probably actors and makeup, but a lot of it I imagine was also probably CGI effects. Like she really says you like, oh my God, like this is creepy and gives you that same kind of unnerving feeling like you got from like The Sixth Sense when you found out Haley Joel Osment can see all these ghosts and just that.
Spoiler! I'm kidding.
And you just get that continual dread and just feel bad for her. And I will say, Patrick Wilson, while he's like, he's not generic, he's just your typical worried husband thing, it works because Vera Farmiga sells her fright, and you get a little bit of backstory of what happened to them just before. I won't spoil it for you, but you totally understand his concerns. It's not one of those things like a lot of movies would just bring that up and never tell you what the issue is.
It's just because you're a woman.
Right. The movie tells you, and it makes sense. It's like, yeah. And especially once you see what she sees, it's like, holy crap, I don't know how you go to sleep at night.
Right. Yeah, Patrick Wilson, the thing about Patrick Wilson, he has what I call the Kevin Bacon syndrome, where no matter what movie he's in, I always see him as Patrick Wilson. He's not a bad actor, but he's never had a role yet. Well, not even Hard Candy, because I still saw him as Patrick Wilson, so it's just him.
Yeah, yeah, it's just not his fault. He's just that nice, everyman-like guy. Like, basically, if you can't get James Marsden, who is a kid who can transform himself, basically, you get Patrick Wilson. He's just like, seriously, he's like, if you need a dad in something, Patrick Wilson. And he does a good job here, and, yeah, and I even like, again, with their Patrick Wilson verified man, I have a daughter, I like how they kept tying stuff back to even their lives, and it legitimately impacted them, because most movies like this, once you get the paranormal investigators, it's kind of smooth sailing from there, but...
You just reminded me, that's another thing that this movie is a mix of. This movie is also a mix of James Wan's Dead Silence, because there's... Probably the most effective part of this movie, if nothing else creeps you out, there will be something that's unnerving about a particular doll in the movie. I won't go into details about it, but there's a backstory involving a creepy-looking doll, which basically looks like one of the dolls from Dead Silence. It looks like a ventriloquist puppet. And I'm pretty sure that was intentional. Maybe that was James Wan's wink, because he's a little bit more subtle now, because back when he first made Saw and he went on to do Dead Silence and Death Sentence... Both those movies had winks to Saw in them, but they weren't really that subtle. Well, Death Sentence wasn't subtle. Dead Silence, you have to be paying attention and notice, because there's like a scene at the end where they go to the theater and there's like a room full of dolls. If you look very closely, you can see on the floor, like in the back of the room, there's like the Billy the Puppet doll from Saw in there. But like, I'm pretty sure that was him doing a little wink to the audience, like, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I like that it was organically tied, because a lot of movies, once you get the paranormal investigator standpoint, it's just a bunch of exorcism cliches, and there's no sense of threat to the actual experts. It's just, will they fail or succeed or not? And this movie kept
Because
it moving and kept the tension going.
Right, because I'm pretty sure this is what you were saying. Like, what's going on here, whether they realize it or not, is... tied to both families.
Right.
Whereas, like you said, with most movies, it's just, well, we're here to help this family. You know, if we fail, we're sorry. You know, we did our best. But, you know, next time around, it's like, no, we need to do this for all of us.
Yeah. And then that's another thing. The family is proactive. And in this movie, it at least makes sense why they can't move. Because it's a guy... The movie explains, like, Ron Livingston is a truck driver. He hasn't been getting as many jobs lately. Plus, they have, like, five kids. So, it's literally seven people you have to feed. So, it makes sense. You got a family of seven. It's in this movie takes place in the 70s when we had a shitty economy and a bunch of inflation. So, it makes sense. Like, yeah, they can't move. This isn't modern times. This is the 70s. People didn't make as much money back then. Ron Livingston got to feed seven people. Like, they can't pay a mortgage on two houses. It makes sense.
Even though with that description, that could be said in current times. But...
Well, yeah. Well, things aren't quite that bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, this house is a fixer-upper, but it is a fixer-upper of all fixer-uppers.
Well, because when you consider what... You're getting for your buck.
Right.
Because he said he got the house for a steal, and it's like, yeah, whenever that happens, you usually know why. It's some shit that went down there. And this is before, you know, the internet, so you couldn't do, like, a background search on the house.
Right,
anything,
it has dead, decaying trees. Like, I don't know when this movie is supposed to take place, but right.
It's like,
the grass is all dead.
Actually, two secret crawl spaces.
Yeah.
No, that's
but, yeah, since you compare it to a lot of horror stuff, was there anything else that bothered you, or was just, like I said, just not as effective for you as
it
was for me?
Yeah, it wasn't anything
watch
that...
a lot of more horror movies.
Yeah, films like this, where it's like, it didn't really bother me, it just didn't affect me.
Because I agree with you, because, like I said, I got a heavy Poltergeist vibe, and there's even a subtle... reference involving the TV to Poltergeist.
Yeah. Right. I'm pretty sure James Wan is a Poltergeist fan. You can see that between this movie and Insidious.
Right.
this gives me new hope for Insidious Chapter 2, because I'm like, even though I was already excited about it, I'm like, James Wan.
I am too.
Like, I don't think he's a bad director. I think he does. He has not yet made a film, even Death Sentence, that I thought was absolutely terrible. His films are still passable.
Like, to compare it to another horror director, like, James Wan gives you the visuals of Rob Zombie, but James Wan smartly has somebody else write his scripts. Because that's always been my one problem with Rob Zombie. It's like, you always give me something visually that I've never seen a horror movie before, but, dude, you just stop writing your own movies and stop putting your life in everything. Like,
well, yeah, I agree with
you. Hire an actual screenwriter to write the story, Rob Zombie.
I agree and I disagree on, I agree, yes, please stop putting your wife in every movie. Even when I was like, oh, well, Halloween 2, you won't put his wife in that, then it's like, wow, you found a way to put her in here by making her a damn ghost.
I mean, she's a decent actress and attractive woman, but
maybe, I don't want to be too harsh, but maybe nobody else will hire her, so he keeps her employed. I don't know. But I'll disagree slightly. The one script he wrote that was actually really good was The Devil's Rejects. But the thing is, it was a good script for that movie. But at the same time, it was no different from how he normally writes. This was just the movie that fit it better. So, I guess I agree and disagree.
So, yeah, like, James Wan, like, actually hires writers. So, Rob Zombie, take some notes. Keep doing what you're doing with the visuals and all that stuff. But hire, like, find, befriend somebody and hire an actual screenwriter. Seriously. But, is there anything else you want to mention? I think we covered everything.
I think that's about everything. I will say, too, the opening, I liked. They did a classic thing. This isn't a spoiler, but they did the classic, what I call the Texas Chainsaw Massacre thing, where at the beginning there's scroll text, which is kind of unnerving. It would have been better if they would have just got John Larroquette to come in like, this is based on true events. The film you're about to see, that shit will creep you out.
This is another one that was based on true events. Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson are apparently based on real people, and this is like, they wrote a bunch of books, and this is like one of the stories they didn't tell till now.
And then something else, I'm not going to say when it happens, but James Wan does something that I really like, where he basically does a play on the typical jump scare at the moment when you expect it kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean. You know when this happens. And I thought that was pretty cool as well, so I'll give him extra props for that.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I'm impressed. You did not go for
it. You did not go for the cheap seats. Good.
But yeah, I guess we're going to rank. Like, this is a full price for me. Like, if you love 70s style horror, like I said, if you love stuff like Poltergeist, if you liked stuff from, I think, a year ago, like The Woman in Black, like, if you just love good films and well-made horror films and, like I said, old-school type horror films where they really tried their best to scare you even if you weren't scared and, like, really developed the characters and really made you invest in the story, like, this is highly recommended. It's a full price. Definitely go see it. You will not regret it. Like, the acting is superb. The effects are pretty good. It surpasses any expectation you would have for an American horror film. It actually accomplishes what it sets out, which is, like I said, not just to be a good horror film, but a good film. And this is another one of those movies from the summer that I was pleasantly surprised by and really liked and will probably buy on Blu-ray when it comes out. So it's a full price for me. Definitely go check it out. It's fantastic.
I'd also give it a full price, but like a low full price, just because I felt like as far as the scares didn't come as they should with this kind of movie. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, it's such a well-made film. There's no way this isn't on some level a full price movie. And it's very atmospheric. He did a good job with all that.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup effects, even though I didn't find them genuinely creepy at all, they were still well done. Mm-hmm. They weren't, like, cheap-looking makeup effects.
Like, basically, if you haven't figured out by now, James Wan knows what he's doing. Insidious wasn't a fluke. Saw wasn't a fluke. He's a good horror director.
Yeah, notice he only did one Saw movie, so what does that tell you?
And we need more. We need more of those, especially in American horror, which was really, really starting to stagnate. And he's basically one of the few people giving it life right now.
Right.
Other than ripping off Japanese horror films. So.
Well, I think they're pretty much done with that.
Keep doing what you're doing, James Wan, and at least as long as your name is on it, I will not dread horror films that you direct like just, I do with everything else where I'm like, oh.
As long as you deliver on Insidious 2, you know, we'll be good. This will be your first sequel that you've done, so as long as you do well with that, you're good in my book.
Yeah. All right, that concludes our review. Once again, we are the Midnight Watch, where our motto is standing on watch for you against bad movies. You can find our podcast by searching iTunes or Stitcher Radio app, by searching the Midnight Watch, or at our main site, PDPOWELL.podomatic.com. And thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.
Good night.